Welcome to the We Are Calvary podcast, where our mission is to share Jesus and help people experience life change. Thank you so much for listening. Here's this week's message.
Holy, holy, holy. Sing it with me. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. And we sing holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. We sing holy, holy, holy. I want to see you. God, you're so good. Lord, today we come and we want to give honor and glory to your name today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to read a passage of scripture with you today as part of your One Another series. It's in the book of John, chapter 13. It might be up on the screens. But if you don't, then just listen. What I want to do is read this passage of scripture to you, but I'm going to have you not look at your Bibles, but just close your eyes and just listen. Let me give you the context. This passage of scripture it took place the night before Jesus was crucified on the cross. So think about that. So this is the Thursday night. This is the Passover meal. Jesus upstairs. We know this is the Last Supper, right? So this is that time. This is that time that took place in that moment. Jesus upstairs in this upper room with his disciples. And this is what took place right there. So okay, close your eyes. Listen to this. Before the Passover celebration, Jesus knew his hour had come to leave this world and return to his Father. He showed his disciples, listen to this, the full extent of his love. It was time for supper, and the devil had already enticed Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to carry out his plan to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given him authority over everything that he had done, and that he had come from God and would return to God. So Jesus got up from the table, he took off his robe, he wrapped a towel around his waist, and he poured water into a basin. Then he began to wash the disciples' feet and wipe them with a towel that he had wrapped around his waist. When the time came for Peter, Peter said to him, "Lord, you're going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You don't understand what I'm doing. Someday you will." "No," Peter protested, "you will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "But if I don't wash your feet, you won't belong to me." Simon Peter exclaimed, "Then wash my hands and my head as well, Lord, not just my feet." Jesus replied, "A person who is bathed all over doesn't need to wash except for the feet to be entirely clean. And you are clean, but it isn't true of everyone here, for Jesus knew the one who would betray him. This is what he meant when he said that not all of you are clean." After washing all of their feet, he put on his robe again and he sat down. "Do you understand what I was doing? You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right, because it's true. And since I, the Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you ought to wash each other's feet. I have given you an example to follow. Do as I have done. How true it is that the servant is not greater than the master, nor the messengers more important than those who he sends them. You know these things, now do them. This is the path of blessing." In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Love one another. It's interesting. Jesus says, interestingly enough, that he was going to show them the fullest extent of his love by washing feet. By washing feet, he was going to show them the fullest extent of his love. Weird, right? I mean, why would washing feet show the fullest extent of his love? It's weird because our culture doesn't understand that. Our culture in America, clearly we don't understand that. Well, there's something here that we're missing. You know, in obviously that Near East culture, they understood more than we did then. So it's my job to help paint the picture of what it was that Jesus was trying to do. But clearly he was trying to show something to them and to us that would communicate for us and for all time a message that Jesus was trying to show them the fullest extent of his love in this one moment. The night before Jesus would go to the cross, could you imagine? Jesus knew that that was the night. He knew this was the time. Could you imagine the night before your death, knowing that you have one last shot at communicating something to your disciples that you're gonna leave all of humanity with? You wanna tell them one thing before you leave. I mean, we know when you leave your kids with the babysitter, you wanna tell them something, right? You're just like, okay, look, don't forget. This is what I'm gonna tell you, right? I mean, this is like for all humanity. Jesus is gonna tell them one last thing, and he says, sit down, and they're gonna have the Last Supper. And so he's gonna tell them the most important thing. This is a big deal. Like, this isn't just some sort of a yawn, we're gonna do the Last Supper. This is something really so important that if we miss it, then we're missing something. Most of us have seen the Leonardo da Vinci painting and it's all wrong. There's something here if we don't slow down. I think if there's one thing we miss as Christians is we read our Bibles too fast. We need to slow down and read our Bibles a little more slowly, because there's something in the words, sometimes in the spaces of the words, sometimes in the spaces of the letters of the words, that if we don't slow down, we're gonna miss it. Amen. All right. Here's my question for you today. You've been talking about one another love. Love one another. You've been doing this at Calvary now for several weeks, a long time. So let me ask you this. I come here, it's August 1st or August 2nd now. So, how's your one another love looking? How's it going, Calvary? You doing good? That's lame. Come on now. How's your one another love looking? Right, see, I heard Tammy get up here and talk about that. You guys did good with that thing. That was awesome, right? Your one another love, right? Did you know that's really our biggest assignment is the one another love? Like, that's it. Listen to this. You guys have heard this by now, I'm sure. John 13:35, it says this. By this, everyone will know that you're my disciples if we what? Love one another. Like, that's it. You don't gotta preach. You don't gotta teach. You don't gotta sing and dance. All you gotta do is love one another, right? Here's the problem with most of us. We kind of tend to think it's all churchy people we're supposed to love. We kind of tend to think that our job is just to love churchy people. That's the problem. We kind of tend to think that we're supposed to just love churchy people better. As long as we hang out loving churchy people and churchy people love us, we're good. But that's not what Jesus was talking about. He wasn't talking about loving churchy people. He was talking about loving Brenda at HR. He was talking about loving Tim over in IT. Come on now. Brenda's tough. Tim is mean. Come on now, if you're Brenda or Tim, settle down. I'm just messing with you, right? But I'm talking about, right? It's hard loving people at work. It's hard loving your husband at home. Some of you wives just threw some elbows. It's hard loving your wife at home. It's hard loving your kids when they're wayward. It's hard loving all the things. Come on now. It's hard loving people out there. But the Bible says it's how the world is gonna know us. By our one another love out there, not in here. Let me break it down a little better. By now, you've heard this phrase. Let me back up a little bit. You know that we've all been given a gift of love, right? So if we're gonna show our one another love, first of all, we've all been given a gift of love, right? So our one another love is a gift, number one. All of us have been given a gift of love. You've all been given a gift. If you've been married for 10 minutes, you know you've been given a gift. You've all been given gifts. You remember the gift Gary Chapman talked about in the 5 love languages? The love languages of, you know those gifts, right? The gifts of words of affirmation, quality time, physical touch, acts of service, giving and receiving gifts. You know those things, right? Your wife told you about those things. You know that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to love her like that. And yeah, right? And you're not doing a good job at it, right? Because she told you so. Listen, can I tell you this? Unfortunately, here's the deal. You feel like you're like, God, you gave me a dud. You're like, I can't do that. I am not that kind of guy. I don't know how to do that because I'm this way. And most of us have the gifts of love or the love language that we have. It's this way, and I don't know how to do it this way because this is the love language I have. Listen, it's your love language. Good on you. But he speaks a different love language. Learn it. And she speaks a different love language. Learn it. Love is, here's the funny thing about love is we kind of tend to think is love is about me. Love is all about what I want. Love is really about learning their language. Love is all about their language, right? We kind of tend to think that love is our thing. Let me explain. Galatians 5. By now, we've talked about this. Remember the fruit of the Spirit? We've talked about the fruit of the Spirit at some point. The fruit of the Spirit, you know those, right? Let me read them for you. The fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5:22, it says this, when the Holy Spirit controls our lives, he will produce this kind of fruit in us. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Here, there is no conflict with the law. The fruit of the Spirit, right? And so many of us, when we read this or hear this or have somebody preach to us this fruit of the Spirit, most of us do this. We're like, okay, Pastor Lance, here's the deal. There's 9 fruits. And so we're looking at us, we're just like, okay, I'm doing good with 3 of them, but I'm not doing good with the other ones, right? We're just like, okay, I'm not working well with patience or kindness or goodness, but or self-control. I stink at self-control. I'm working on that. Can I tell you this? Let me just set you at ease. The Bible's written in 3 languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Aramaic. This particular passage in Galatians is actually written in Greek, biblical Greek. The word fruit there is actually written in singular. It's not written in plural. When the Bible talks about fruit, it's singular. It says there's 1 fruit, not 9. The fruit, singular, of the Holy Spirit is this, love. That manifests itself joyfully, peacefully, patiently, kindly, in goodness, faithfulness, gently, and with self-control. Love is the fruit of the Spirit. So when you're at work with Susan in HR, be nice. Bring it with you to work. Love nicely. Be kind with Tim in IT. Gently. Amen. What happens is we think we're here at church and we're just gonna let the fruit of the Spirit be here at church. But let me put it this way. The fruit of the Spirit isn't for you. The fruit of the Spirit is for them. We kind of tend to think the fruit of the Spirit is like this big bowl of fruit on the kitchen table of our lives for us to consume for ourselves, like bananas and grapes and oranges and peaches, just for me. It's not for you. The fruit of the Spirit is for others to eat out of your bowl for them. The fruit of the Spirit is for the world to see, so they will see Jesus in us. Amen. That's how they will see Jesus. So you don't have to preach a word. They see the fruit of the Spirit in love from you. Have you ever seen someone who calls himself a Christian and you're at work and you're just like, not so much? And you look in the mirror and you're like, oh no, that's me. I'm the mean one. Because of the fruit of the Spirit of love, not showing up. All right. Love one another well. How did Jesus love? The Bible says that Jesus washed the disciples' feet. Jesus loved, listen to this, love one another requires personal shalom. I'm gonna say it this way. Jesus was able to love and wash everyone's feet because he was filled with peace. He had a personal shalom about him. He had the ability to love with a peace about him. Jesus was able to wash Judas's feet. Jesus was able to love with a peace about him. So many of us love, and we try to do things out of our own weakness and strength or our own flesh. Jesus was able to love and wash the disciples' feet out of his shalom. What is shalom? Shalom is a word in the Bible. Let me define it this way. Shalom is a word that means complete wholeness. Complete wholeness. Can you imagine being completely whole? Really? Can you imagine being completely whole? Here's the definition of the word shalom. It means completely whole, no pieces missing, nothing broken, restored to God's original design, living under the loving rule of God. Could you imagine being that kind of person and then loving from that platform? You can wash anyone's feet. You can just wash anyone. Come on, let me wash it off. Most of us are just, we're loving so fragmented and broken. In fact, can I see that real quick, Tim, please? Thank you. So many of us, we live our lives like this. This is a puzzle right here, 1,000-piece puzzle. So many of us live our lives a lot like this. We have our lives, no pieces missing. That's what shalom means. Shalom means no pieces missing. But so many of us live our lives a lot like this puzzle. We have our lives and we live our lives a lot like this. We have our lives are like this. We're like the filling of this puzzle. And our lives are just like this. One big broken puzzle, all poured out. And our lives become this big fragmented puzzle of broken pieces where our lives are just spread out. Pieces missing, pieces stepped on, pieces fragmented, pieces lost, pieces given away, pieces hurting, pieces dented, pieces broken. Our lives are all fragmented. And the Bible says shalom is when all the pieces are brought back together in complete wholeness. Can you imagine living life completely at peace? That's what Jesus did. Our lives so much are like filled with chaos and brokenness. And then we try everything we can to make our lives better. We try drinking and we try relationships and we try other people's relationships and we try drugging it up and we try everything we can. We try pornography. We try everything we can. We try counterfeit peace. We try everything we can to try to bring ourselves back to completeness. And then it just falls apart. And we can never get back to shalom because we'll do everything we possibly can to try to get to completeness. Except what he tells us to do to get to completeness. Jesus says to go wash somebody else's feet. And then we say, all right, I'll try doing that. But I'll try doing it from a platform of disarray and disunity. And we're like, okay, Jesus, we'll do like you. And we'll try taking our broken pieces and try to wash people's feet. And he's like, no. I want you to do it from the platform of wholeness first. The problem with so many of us is that we take the assignment from that passage in John 13 and we say, hey, maybe we should have buckets of water and towels out in the lobby and we'll just hand them out and tell people to wash feet. But I'm here to tell you this, that would be so wrong if we didn't first tell you how to find shalom, how to find peace first. And from the platform of wholeness in your own personal lives, it's from there that you can then go and give it away. How did Jesus, what went through his mind when he held Judas's feet in his hands? What happened in Jesus when he knelt down and he picked up Judas's heel and he held it in his hand and he looked up in his eyes and he thought to himself, in just a few hours, you're going to betray me. You're gonna sell me out to the Pharisees. Then they're going to go and have a farce of a trial. And then they're going to convict me in a farce of a trial and then brutally beat me and then hang me on a tree. And the whole time Jesus says, but Judas, these feet will carry you to that punishment. These feet will carry you. And what did Jesus do? He picked up the towel and the water and he washed them. And then he washed the dust off his feet. The dust from what? The dust from where he went before that when he dreamed up the plan. the dust from the secrets that he had in his heart when he said, I'm going to, I will, and I thought. And he said, Judas, I'll even get that between your all the crazy plans you came up with. I'm gonna get that all. Even though you are my enemy, I love you. Who does that? Somebody who's at complete peace. So many of us have been trying to love out of our hurt, our pain, our shame, our absolute fragmented states. And we're like, how do you love from that? You can't. That's why our love gets so self-driven. And we're just like, I just want you to love me so that you that I can feel loved. Instead of just saying, I love you because God made me whole, I love you. Because I know who I am. Because I know who I am in Christ, I can love wholly, completely to you. Because Jesus is who I am, I will love you. Because I'm at shalom. I'm at peace. It's funny how weird and selfishly and convoluted we get with our love. Because our love so many times has so many strings attached. What I can get out of it, what you owe me, what I hope you bring back to me. If I do this for you, you must do that for me. Jesus never did any of that. He just loved because he was at complete peace. So here's the question. How do we get to shalom? How do we get to the place of peace? That'd be good to know so that we can actually love like Jesus, amen? So that we can serve like Jesus, amen? Okay, good. Mark chapter 12 says this, Jesus replied, the most important command is this, hear, O Israel, listen to this. So Jesus, listen to this, is just saying this. Jesus says, the most important command is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one and only Lord. You must, this is Jesus talking, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. So Jesus tells his disciples, this is the most important command. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and all your strength. Listen to this. And the second is equally important. Okay, Jesus just said the most important command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he says this, and equally important to that, Jesus says here in the book of Mark, yep, and equally important, Jesus says this, love your neighbor as yourself. Can I be honest with you? If there's one passage of scripture that we here in America do better than any other passage of scripture, it's this one. We love our neighbors just like we love ourselves. We stink at it. Why? Because we look at ourselves in the mirror and we say this, I'm ugly, I'm fat, I'll always, I'm ugly, I'm terrible, I'll never have enough, I'll always be this way, I'll never. We love our neighbors just like we love ourselves. Because most of us really genuinely don't like ourselves. We're fulfilling this passage probably better than any other passage in the Bible. So how do we do that? Start learning to love ourselves and create a cult on self-love? No! Don't do that. First of all, you were created in the image of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. The self-love he's talking about is realizing I was created in the image of Christ. When you know who you are in Jesus and you finally live in who you are in Jesus, you can be good with that. Amen. So for example, I'm 6'3", 300 and some pounds, right? So I realize that. I played college football. I sing like a girl. Come on, don't laugh. You laughed, made me feel bad, right? So here's the deal. I was on a vocal scholarship, right? But I was, in college, I was 6'4", 350 pounds, and I remember going into college, and I sang, auditioned for a college scholarship singing, and I sang, and they were like, you're awfully large for a high singer like you. And I was like, all right, whatever. And so they gave me a big scholarship to sing, and I was doing that, right? And I was like, yay. But it was fine to the people who were listening to me giving me money, but then when I actually went into the room with the rest of the people singing, all of the people who were like first tenors with me were like this big, right? And so they were like, dear Jesus, you're huge. And you sing like a girl, right? And so I was like, I remember like, Lord, what are you doing, man? Why don't you give me a voice like a dude, right? And so no joke. I remember thinking that, right? And then I realize, when I realize who I am, I know who I am. So today, I got up here, started singing. I know who I am, because I am not a worship leader, I am a lead worshiper. I am a pastor who comes up into a room and takes authority because I know who I am in Christ. And I will lead you in worship because I am a lead worshiper. It's taken me several years to know who I am in Christ, and I'm confident in who I am. You don't have to like my voice, but I know who does. You don't have to like what I sing like, but I will lead you in worship because I know who I am in Jesus, and I like who I am. Do you like who you are? Because I live at peace with who I am. That's what it means to live in shalom. And when I live in shalom, I can wash the dust off people's feet. Does it mean that I walk around with a rag and buckets of water and wash people's dirt feet? No, here's what it means to wash the dust off people's feet. It means to walk around, listen to this. Washing the dust off somebody's feet doesn't mean you literally wash dust off people's feet. I literally want to wash the path of life off somebody's journey. When I talk to somebody and I say, tell me about yourself, and they say, wow, if you knew what I've done. And I say, well, that's all right, tell me what you've done. And they're like, man, I've walked a crazy life. And they're like, well, you should know my life. You don't know my life. I remember one time when Paulie and I stood up to preach one day on a Father's Day, and I was talking about fatherhood, and I was telling somebody a story about, I was talking about fatherhood. And people don't know that I had a really crummy father, really bad. And I remember talking about fatherhood, and I was talking about, I said, I'm a good dad. And I said, I'm a great dad. And talked about fatherhood. And this lady came up to me, and she's like, you know, you must have come from a great father, and blah, 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 blah. And I was like, you don't know what God's done in my life. He's healed me. And because of the place of healing, I can talk about the healthy father. And I wanted to say to her, like, I'm talking from a place of healing because I've been healed, not because I've had a great father example, right? And so I can say to you, like, when you're healed and you talk to healing, that's why Pastor Mary can talk about the stuff she's talking about in her Brave courses, because she's been healed. So you need to be a part of that so you can find healing, and then you can go wash the dust off people's feet like she is. Amen? That's what it is to wash the dust off somebody's feet. You get to sit there and listen to their stories, and you get to live their lives with them and then wash the dust off their feet. I think sometimes we get this idea that washing dust off people's feet is literally washing dirty feet. So what about this story when the Bible says Jesus showed the fullest extent of his love? How did he do that? By washing feet. Can I tell you the rest of the story? So Jesus did this. Listen to this. It's interesting. The Bible says that Jesus showed the fullest extent of his love. It says that night that Jesus got up from the table. He got up from the table. Why did he do that? Because he was trying to show them the bigger story about what we know, the big fancy Bible words called the incarnation, when Jesus got up from the place of heaven and came to earth. He was trying to show us this thing called the incarnation. He got up from heaven and he came down to, listen to this, he came down to earth. The Bible says in John 1:14, so the word became human and he came to earth to live among us. Then it says this, then he took off his robe and he wrapped a towel around his waist. What does that mean? Most of us think it just means that, well, he had to do something, right? You can't just sit there with your robes on. You know what Jesus was showing them? That he took off his royal robes and he put a towel around his waist. Literally, he took off his kingly robes and he put on flesh and became man. He was showing you and I what he was doing. He took off his royal robes of heaven and he became man. Why? Because we needed a perfect human, literally, fleshly man so that they could be a perfect sacrifice for you and me to pay the penalty for our sin. Listen to this. Philippians 2:6 says, who being in very nature God did not consider equality with God something to be grasped or taken advantage of, but he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. Then it says, when he poured out a pitcher of water, what did he do that for? The Bible says that he poured a pitcher of water into a basin. What was that all about? The Bible said that Jesus literally poured out his life. He He was pouring out his life for two reasons. One, to wash the sin off of their lives, and he was showing us how he could wash the sin off our lives. He was giving us a living, he was showing them and us the full extent of his love. So what's this all about? Jesus was telling us this. He says that we can do the same thing, that we can go into the lives of people and be just like Jesus, that we get go do the same thing. We can go to work, or we can go home, or we can be in the lives of people and literally go and say, I can pour life of Jesus all over people and say, look, I will do and be like Jesus for you. There are times when I think to myself, God, it would be so much easier if you could just do it without me. Wouldn't it be easier if he could just go to work for you and just be the light of Christ there for you? Then there's times when you think like, God, it'd be so much easier if you could just do all the work for us. But instead he said, no, but I want you to do it. You are the light of the world. Yay. Right? We're it. If we don't do it, the world's dark. We're Jesus' answer. Some people have been praying like, God, will you just do something? You know what he says? I did. I put you here. Here's my question. How's the little light shining? That's the question for the hour. This little light of mine. Right? How's it shining? Some of us are like putting it under a little bushel. Yes. You know the reference. Come on now. We're it. If we don't let it shine, then who's going to do it? Because you know that world's getting weirder and weirder. And we're just becoming either more and more churchy, or we become more and more bright to the world. How's your one another love? So I want to pray for you today. There's a couple different kinds of people here today. Some people who have never given their lives to Jesus. There's people here today who have never surrendered your life to Jesus. Maybe you've just said like, gosh, Lance, I don't even know what you're talking about. Like I've never actually surrendered my life to Jesus. My life has been like this puzzle. My life is like this. My life is so out of control. I feel so disarrayed. I feel so separate. I wanna have peace for the very first time. I wanna be brought back together so that I can have peace once and for all. I just want a peace of mind and heart one time because I feel like my life is so spread out all over like this puzzles on this stage. But one time in my life, I wanna find peace. Or maybe you're here today and it's been a long time. You've walked with Jesus, but you've tried everything that you know to love, to counterfeit, to try other places to find peace of mind. You know what I'm talking about. You've done everything you can to try to create peace and manufacture peace except for what you know to be true, which is to go right to Jesus. And just go there enough and surrender. It's all about surrender. So I want to pray for both of you today. Can I do that right now? So here's what I'd like you to do is take your hands and just put them out in front of you as if you're just going to catch something. All right? So Father, today we come before you and regardless of which group we're talking about, I want to pray for the first group. Maybe it's you this morning and for the first time, either you're here or you're watching us online. Maybe for the first time you're realizing that you're like all of these pieces of a puzzle on this stage. You're a disarray, man. There's just pieces everywhere. And maybe you even feel like you gave pieces away and you think you'll never give them back. Or somebody stole them from you and you feel like, oh my gosh, how do I ever get those pieces back? Here's the good news. The Bible says God's the creator and he can actually make pieces. He can restore the lost, broken pieces if you'll allow him. Maybe that's you this morning and you're like, Jesus, I just need you for the first time to come into my life. I just want to give my life completely to you and you to me. If that's you this morning, I want you to just say, Jesus, I give you me. Just say it out of your own mouth. Jesus, I give you me. I surrender to you, Jesus. I surrender to you, Jesus. Go ahead. I surrender, Jesus. Maybe you're here and it's been a long time. You remember when you were younger Maybe it was not long ago you surrendered your life to Jesus, but you drove your life into a ditch somewhere. And you made that decision. You thought, man, how did I end up here? You're like, I don't understand how I got here, but I'm here. I don't want to be here anymore. I'm done with this. I'm so done with this. I don't want to live in disarray. I want to be brought back into shalom. I want to be brought back into peace. I want to have peace again in my life. Jesus, will you bring all the pieces back together? I know what it's like to walk in peace. I've done it before, God, but I'm tired of trying to love in my strength. I'm trying to earn relational equity with people in my own strength. I'm trying to serve in my own strength. I'm just tired. And today I want you to just say, Jesus, I surrender to you. I surrender. You got me, God. I give up. I need you today, Jesus. I trust you, Lord. I give you me all over again. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. If you'd like to partner with us in sharing Jesus and helping people experience life change, you can support our mission by clicking the link in the description. If this message has impacted you, please subscribe and share. To learn more, visit wearecalvary.com. We'll see you back next week.